Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. The number of farmers markets nationwide has more than quadrupled over the past 25 years as more people seek access to locally produced food. Farm-to-table eating has never been easier or more popular than it is today, when consumers can stroll through open-air markets and meet the people who grow the food they eat. While farmers markets are a great way to boost a grower's income, they also offer a chance for consumers to enjoy the season, taste real flavors, support family farmers, and protect the environment along the way. It's a unique opportunity to connect with the community, making shopping a pleasure rather than a chore. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shireen Seward. A regular trip to a farmer's market is one of the best ways to connect with where your food comes from. You'll discover an amazing array of produce that you may not see in your average supermarket, and it's a wonderful opportunity to savor the freshest and tastiest foods available straight from the farm. The farmers market has evolved through the years. It's now a community hub, a place to meet up with friends, bring children, or just get a taste of small town life in the midst of our wonderful region. Today, we welcome two guests to help you make the most of your next trip to the farmers market and incorporate locally grown foods into your mealtime planning. From Stevens Point, Chef Christian Chirwanka, better known as Chef C, joins us today to talk about the way he incorporates locally produced foods into his restaurant menus with some recipes and recommendations for you to try at home. Chef C, welcome to Route 51.
Hello.
Also joining us, it's great to have you. Also joining us today is the Vice President of the Farmers Market of Wausau, Jojo Vang, who owns and operates Jojo's Bakery. It's a Saturday staple at the Wausau Market. Jojo, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you being here.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Your questions are welcome to join the conversation by calling us at 800-780-9742 or email us at route51@wpr.org. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. So, Jojo, I'd like to start with you and ask you, how did your relationship with the farmers market begin? Was this something that you grew up with or something that kind of entered your life later?
Well, it definitely entered my life later. I grew up in northeastern Wisconsin in a really tiny town. We didn't have a farmer's market. So after my husband and I were married for about 6 years, we moved out to the country and we were gardening. And I thought I wanted to be a farmer and take my things to the market. And his mother was a longtime vendor at the farmer's market of Wausau. And so she allowed me to help her sell, and she ended up using our land for her garden for a couple of years. And so I worked alongside her and grew peas and beans and tried to sell those. And that's how I got started. But I could quickly see that that was her business and I needed to branch out on my own. So
sure. So then you have Jojo's Bakery. And mm-hmm. It's kind of one of those chicken or egg questions, which came mm-hmm. first. Did you always want to use the bakery, the farmer's market as part of your bakery plan? Or did the bakery come first and then you thought, hey, I'll sell some things at the market?
No, actually, I was selling the vegetables and I realized that wasn't really going to help us too much financially. And we needed money. And my mom had started a bakery at her orchard up in northeastern Wisconsin. And I thought, I can do that. Sure. And so 2 weeks later, I had rented a kitchen and started, and everything has grown from there. So, and honestly, the one thing I never really wanted to be was a baker.
And here you are.
Yeah. I remember telling my mom that when I was little, like we went to a bakery and she had asked them what time they had gotten up in order to make all the donuts and things. And they said something like 2 or 3 a.m. And I told my mom, I would never want to be a baker.
You're doing it. Mm-hmm. Now you're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, Chef C, you mm-hmm. own several restaurants in Stevens Point, yes?
Yes, we have Father Fats, which is downtown Stevens Point on Clark Street. And right across the street from that, we have Chef's Kitchen. And we also have Chef C's Munchie Mobile, a little food truck.
That's right. How about your relationship with the farmers market and the local food movement? I know I've talked with you before about this.
Yep.
I know you used a lot of locally produced food in your restaurant menus.
Yep.
Was it something that you did at home before you incorporated it into your business model?
For sure. It's something that's always that I've always been involved in and around. I grew up in New York, and there was always back in the 70s and 80s, there was a lot of farmers market. Then we kind of went to a period where we kind of got out of farmers markets a little bit. Then we kind of got back into it again the past probably, 8 years or so. So it's as a chef, it's awesome as I can incorporate my menu on a daily basis, depending on what I find, take a walk. It's literally like 2 minutes away from the restaurant. So I can walk down there with my shopping bag. We have actually shopping carts that we take with us, and we go down there and load up, and we basically start designing our menu from scratch from those ingredients, which is awesome.
Well, that's pretty cool. What does it mean to your customers? Does it matter to them that you're—
For sure. More so and more so over the past couple of years. I've seen each year it's grown more and more. We highlight those farmers on our menus when we do that stuff. We use local mushroom foragers. We do, we bring in animals as far as like pigs and goats, and it's all depending on the season, what's kind of being, what's being grown and what's out there. We have a tight relationship as far as working with the farmers one-on-one, and working with them developing stuff for us particularly also, which is awesome.
And can you expand on that a little bit? You talk about that you highlight the growers, actually.
Yep.
That I
oh,
did
yeah.
not know that. So I mean, how do you establish those relationships and really nurture them?
Really, it starts at the farmer's market, to tell you the truth. We most of the time when you go to the farmer's market, it is the farmers who are on those stands, working those stands and talking to people, explaining, how to use their products. For me, I think a lot of people walk around, they see these things like, kohlrabi and Napa cabbage and, all these different kind of radishes. And I think people just don't know what to do with them necessarily. So I really see the farmers and, making that connection with the customer and with the chefs, They talk to us about, hey, what do you guys do with this stuff? Because they learn from us at the same time, and we're very involved in getting out to the farms also. We take our cooks and kind of do at least once or twice a year, we'll do like a farm tour. So our staff can actually see, where the stuff is coming from, so that then goes back to the customer so that, hey, we were actually at White Feather Farms just a few days ago, and we saw these shishitos and how they were grown. It's really cool. You should see the bush, and, so it's that involvement just comes around full circle.
Wow. Well, Jojo, I have to wonder, did the Wausau Farmers Market really see a spike in interest during the pandemic? People were cooking and baking more than ever before. Did that really translate to a bump in the customer base there?
I think it definitely did. It was the one place that I think people felt comfortable going because it was outdoors. And, because we were all cooped in for so long, the farmers market was just a real place of like connection and release that we didn't get elsewhere. So I think just for that social reason too, the farmers market really advanced last season, and it made people feel like there was still a little bit of normal in their lives. So we definitely saw an increase in number.
And Jojo, I really wonder, you spent so many years at the farmers market. What's the relationship like between the producers that are there? Is there kind of a sense of community, or is it more of a competition?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, obviously. But I think in general, we all want to support each other. And, one thing that we talked about in our board meeting this year was that as leadership, we really do want to be there for our farmers to help really promote them and make them as successful as possible. And there are definitely enough customers to go around. So we don't really have to compete with each other, but we want to help each other become the best that we can be. And having such a great customer base really does help with that.
So. What about pricing? I'm curious about that. Is there kind of an unspoken agreement that you're not going to get into some price war for carrots, or do people try to undercut one another? How does that work, Jojo?
Well, at our farmers market, we do, as a general rule, we do not regulate the prices. So if somebody wants to sell their carrots for $6 a pound and someone else wants to sell it for $2, they can. I think the Stevens Point market might be a little bit different, but I'm not sure. So that we leave that up to the farmers, but I do think that they are respectful of one another, and
they don't try to gouge each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see much of a difference between most of the stands. You go from one to the other, and it's you know, it's all about who's got the best product, and you know, like she was saying, if you have a better product, you can charge for more. Hey, go for it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And Chef C, obviously, farmers markets are seasonal. So, what's in season right now? What are people really buying right now?
Seeing rhubarb. That's been coming through. Saw a brief short window of ramps. You know, those kind of come and go within a couple of weeks. Starting to see some radishes kind of start to pop up. Actually got some Napa cabbage last weekend at the Stevens Point Farmers Market here. So it's exciting to kind of see as you go down every day, you know, oh, what are they going to have today, you know, or what's popping today, you know. And once again, you know, talking to those farmers and, hey, what's coming up, you know, what are you going to have this weekend? And, you know, it's almost like it's great because, again, you know, they can tell you exactly, okay, well, this weekend we're going to have such and such. And, oh, cool, I'll be back down to get that stuff, you know. So it's so kind of more of the springy stuff, you know. It is a shorter kind of compact season that we have in Wisconsin, you know. So it's, you know, I'm used to that kind of a little bit longer season, which is nice, you know, kind of get an earlier start, you know. But with the wacky weather that we have here, we go from 40 to 80, 85, 90 pretty fast, you know. So things are growing quickly, though, so it should start popping.
Right, absolutely. So Jojo, you're a baker, obviously. What can we bake this time of year that, I mean, what can we take advantage of right now?
Well, definitely the rhubarb, like Chef C said. I sent you a recipe for some rhubarb pecan muffins, and
yes, and we'll get that on our website.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also, I would definitely, within the next week or two, you'll probably start to see some strawberries. So I like to make fresh strawberry tarts, and you can make some strawberry rhubarb jam. So you'll start to see more and more fruit at the market. And for my bakery, that's great because I use a lot of fruit. So.
Sure. I have to tell you that when I was a kid, I remember making jelly with my family, and it was this long process. I felt like, you know, this dipping of the wax on the top. And I mean, I felt like it was this all day event. But is there an easier way to make like a jam that doesn't take all day?
Well, if you want, totally, if you just want something like for your breakfast that morning, it's super easy. You can just take your fruit and cut it into kind of, you know, probably half or quarters if you're using strawberries, and chop up your rhubarb into little chunks. Put some, like a tablespoon of cornstarch on that, and maybe, depending on how much you're making, but like some sugar, pop it in the microwave or over the stove and stir it until it's thickened and soft, and go ahead and eat it right away.
And that's all there is to it.
Yeah, if you want it something that you're going to consume right away, it's very simple. So
that sounds great. Chef, I want to hear a suggestion on a recipe that we can use today with something that's available at the farmer's market that I could go get tomorrow.
We kind of sing along those same lines as the rhubarb. We do a rhubarb apple craisin crisp at the restaurant that goes over really well. You always take our rhubarb, kind of toss that with some sugar. If you have berries on hand, that's great. If not, just chopped up some apples is good. A little bit of vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg. You make a little streusel topping to go on top of there with some oats and flour and butter and brown sugar, and bakes like, you know, 20, 30 minutes. It's ready to go, you know, so people love that. Ice cream, no ice cream. You know, that's definitely any kind of crisp we usually kind of do. Usually kind of goes over really well, so.
Oh, yeah. I love the taste of that. You're listening to Jojo Vang from the Farmers Market of Wausau and Stevens Point's Chef C, our guest today for a discussion about local food, farmers markets, and how to incorporate locally grown produce and protein into your own recipes at home. Your questions for our guests are welcome. Join us by calling 800-780-9742. You can also send an email to route51@wpr.org. When calling, please allow enough time for our producer to answer your call. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. Mm-hmm. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shireen Seewert. Chef Christian Shawanka and Jojo Vang are our guests today for a discussion on farmers markets and the local food movement. Your questions are welcome. The number to call is 800-780-9742. Chef C, what is the most unusual, craziest thing that you've ever found at a farmers market?
That's a good question, actually.
Maybe it doesn't have to just be one.
Yeah, maybe like those Buddha. You ever see those Buddha lemons? They're kind of like the almost like little Jojo. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have like those little like tentacles almost. It's kind of crazy looking.
Kind of like an octopus.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've seen those before. I don't know. There's not too many things that I guess I've seen that have been too crazy. I'll see some of the meats and things that some of the other farmers are selling. You know, they'll obviously break down their animals, you know, so they'll sell everything from head to tail, you know. So you'll see some interesting cuts of meat as far as that goes, as you can
right.
imagine, you know. Oxtails, I've seen oxtails at a farmer's market, you know. That's not every day that you see that, you know, but it's once again, they have to sell everything, you know. So
yeah.
It's really kind of fun finding those little things too as a chef, you know, because you can then. You know, as the way we do our menus, that I can have only 5 or 6 or 10 things, and we can just sell out of it, and it's gone. You know, so if I find small amounts of stuff in the farmers market, it's a lot easier for me to incorporate those things into our menu. You know, and still showcase it, and it's gone. You know, so it's fun.
Did you use the weird lemon that you found?
Yeah, we did some. Did it in some pastries and put in some different things like that. You know, so that's. But for us, that's also what it's about. It's, you know, a lot of times I'll send my cooks to the farmer's market and tell them to, you know, bring back 2 or 3 things that they've never worked with before. You know, we kind of make it a challenge for them and for us to kind of do that. You know, I think that's what a lot of people need to do when they go to the farmer's market also is, you know, just don't get always the same things that you always get. I mean, get those things because you like them, but also maybe try something new every time that you go, you know, whether it's like a chayote or a Merlotown squash, or, you know, maybe it's okra that you sometimes see growing up here, you know, and, you know, there's so much information out there nowadays too about how to use this stuff, you know, so that's, you know, makes it a little bit easier, you know, as far as finding it and using it.
Do you find that the growers are really, I mean, eager to tell you about how to use those things that are maybe a little bit less?
For sure. Because it's, you know, they obviously want to sell it. They're obviously growing it and putting a lot of passion into that, you know, so they want to, you know, they want to see that take the next step into somebody's hands and somebody using it, you know, so. I think the more they know about their product and understanding, you know, how it's grown and, you know, how is it cooked and that kind of stuff, it makes them more knowledgeable and makes them, you know, more reputable as far as the farmer goes too, you know. And I think that goes back to that relationship that you have with the chefs. You know, they'll ask us, you know, straight up what we do with certain things. What do you guys do with this? What do you guys do with that? You know, so they're constantly learning new things as well, you know, about their own products from us.
Sure. I have to say, I remember going to farmers markets years ago, and I felt like there were, you know, eight stands all selling produce, and that was it. Now it feels like it's a whole different animal. I know in the Wausau farmers market, yeah, it's the Wausau farmers market spilled out into like a second parking lot. Sometimes there's somebody across the street, and it's a lot more than just fruit and vegetables. Jojo, yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, how has the Wausau market really evolved over the years?
Well, it's definitely grown. We're up to 50 slots now, and 49 of those are either the farmers or bakers. We have coffee. We have several meat vendors as well. So, for example, we have lamb, pork, chicken. We even have trout. So we have a guy who comes with a smoked trout. It's really, really pretty amazing. We have a lot of, not just more vendors, but our diversity in our market has really grown. And I think at least about half of our vendors are from the Hmong community. And so that also really helps to get us some different products that we wouldn't have had at our market without them. And it really kind of allows them to interact with the rest of the community in a really unique way. So,
right. Are there food trucks now?
We have one spot open for a food truck. So, and we could use a few more food trucks Chef C, if you want to come to the farmers market.
I get that quite often.
So. Yeah. So our this season, we have three vendors who are going to be coming as food trucks, and actually, I'm one of them. I also run an egg roll, like we Freedom Street egg rolls. But the other two vendors that are coming are also Hmong, and they're also doing egg rolls. So there's
they're also
anybody else. Brother. Yeah. So if there's anybody else out there who wants to bring
so
their
there's
food
space
truck,
for that.
Yeah, there is. There's
okay, there's space for that. Happen. So mm-hmm. they can contact the Wausau Farmers Market if they're interested in that. How did you decide that food trucks were going to be part of the farmers market? I mean, was there a call for that, or?
That was a big controversy in our market.
Really?
Almost every season that I have been a part of the farmers market, it's come up at our farmers market meeting where, why can't we have a food truck, you know? And every year it was voted down very narrowly. And just two seasons ago, it finally passed. I think the resistance to that was that the long-term vendors, like the people who had been there since the beginning, really wanted to keep it purely for farmers. But at the same time, they could see how the farmers market was growing and changing and how that actually does attract more people. And we all want more customers. So yeah. I think it was time for a little bit of change and some new things to be coming in. And so, like, even when we added coffee vendors and more bakers, like, that was a new thing for them. And I think it really has helped the market as a whole to be more interesting to the customers and just to give them more options. So,
and those new additions have been quite popular. I mean, the lines at the bakeries are long. The lines at the coffee vendors are pretty long too. So it does seem like people are coming for that. And Chef C, I mean, you mentioned that you have a food truck too.
Yeah.
And I feel like
that whole connection there is what's, not to cut you off, but that connection there is so huge. I think if the farmers like really think about it, and you know, for me as a chef, like, it, once again, it goes back to, you know, I can actually shop at the farmer's market and actually put that stuff and use it right then and there on my food truck. Mm-hmm. You know, so in a way, I'm actually helping out the farmers by using their product and saying, hey, I just made this really killer sandwich from the cabbage that I got from over there. And really, oh my God. So boom, there you go. And next thing you know, they're going over to the farmer, buying that cabbage, because now they kind of have an idea what to do with it, you know, as far as food preparation goes. So, you know, I think some of the other farmers will kind of realize that connection, and it takes the chefs on the food trucks too, obviously, and the cooks and everybody being involved in that too. It's not as easy as I say it is, you know, so it is a learning curve for everybody, you know, because it's, you know, a lot of food trucks, you're preparing your food ahead of, you know, prepping it ahead of time, that kind of stuff. So it is a challenge to definitely, you know, to go just walk over to something and get something, but you can still do that, you know? So I really think that, you know, the food truck avenue is an awesome way to continue, like JoJo was saying, to kind of build that customer base, really, you know, because it's helping out the food truck with their customer base. It's helping out the farmers with their customer base, you know? So it kind of really goes round and round.
It sounds like there's some room for collaboration there for sure.
Definitely.
You're listening to Chef Christian Sherwanka and JoJo Vang, our guests today on Route 51, a discussion on local foods and how to make the most of your local farmers market. You can join the conversation by emailing us at route51@wpr.org or call us at 800-780-9742. Since we're on the food truck subject, I feel like a few years ago, food trucks were hot dogs and hamburgers and those kinds of things, bratwurst and a lot of egg rolls too, but mm-hmm. It seems like that's really evolved too into more gourmet offerings, more unusual offerings. What's your favorite food truck menu item that you make?
I probably grilled cheese sandwiches are really, it's a good one to go to. You can do a lot of different fillings with those. We do a lot of different wraps also. We'll do like Korean barbecue wraps with kimchi. Kimchi is one of the recipes that I sent y'all. And, you know, kimchi is a wonderful way to put, you know, on salads, on sandwiches, We'll do like kind of quinoa, craisin, farro wheat salads on the truck. We're finding more and more people that are looking for almost kind of some of those healthy options as well on food trucks, not just everything fried necessarily and lots of heavy things. My nickname is Father Fat, so I go heavy on everything, as far as that goes, but there's definitely more of a calling to eat healthier. And, it's the middle of summer, like right now, it's like 90 degrees, it's really nice to have just a nice light spring roll right now. The stuff that JoJo's doing is great for this time of the year or any time of the year, but especially for this time, you're not sitting down eating a big old, basket of loaded French fries, which are awesome and all, in their own way, but just depending on what you're doing and, getting going about your day. But the gourmet part of stuff is, you're seeing a lot of smoked meats. You're seeing a lot of barbecue stuff on trucks. We actually started doing hush puppies last night, which are went over really well. We'll do cheese curds, so for us, it's a challenge for us to, we try to basically bring the restaurant into the food truck, so there's limitations obviously with some of that, but we try not to let that persuade us from pushing those limits and trying different things and, kind of teetering on that line of getting your butt kicks and doing a good job still, so.
Yeah, and you did send us the recipe for kimchi, and we'll put mm-hmm. that along with the other recipes that you both sent on WPR.org/route51. But just to basically, how do you make kimchi? How does it make
kimchi? For us, we take we take cabbage, we kind of slice it or chop it or dice it. We take carrots. We'll do rice wine vinegar. We'll do jalapeno, cilantro, water. Salt, pepper, sometimes I use some sambal in there, sesame oil. We'll kind of toss those things all together, kind of let it sit for, the longer it sits, the better it gets, so that's one of those things where, make it and just let it kind of do its thing, basically. But there's so many directions you can go with kimchi. It's probably one of our favorite things to make, as far as even throughout the year and throughout the season, put rhubarb in there, like we were just talking about, that's a fun thing to do, so we're always looking for different ingredients to, for us, like kimchi is a good base recipe, take that base recipe and, you can add 30 different things to it and kind of make it a lot of different, ways. So that's the fun part of kind of cooking and doing what we do.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun to experiment, isn't it? It's just try
sure.
different things. Sometimes things work, sometimes they don't.
So. Exactly.
JoJo, I'm curious, how does the farmers market choose their venue, their vendors? What's the process to become a vendor?
So to become a vendor, you have to apply, and the board looks over the applications. And so depending on how many spots we have available, the first spot would actually just go directly to whoever applied the earliest. So if we have at some point, we had like a couple of years worth of applicants, but this past year we didn't. We had very few actually. And so if there's more than one space available, the next space, the board gets to recommend a vendor applicant that we think would diversify the market. So we started that idea just a few years ago, and that really did help to get some different types of vendors in our market. And so then once we recommend a couple of the applicants, then we come together as a whole market and everyone votes on who they think should be the new vendor. So that's our process in general. So if you want to become a member of our market, you need to apply by February 1st of each year. So,
okay.
And then we'll let you know in early April.
So. Okay. But you're still allowing people who want to perhaps bring a food truck in to contact you at this point.
Yeah. We okay. have that one space available, and the three of us who have signed up, they're still open slots.
There's still spots. Okay. Good. Mm-hmm. Good to know. Good mm-hmm. to know. So Chef C, when you're working with local producers, mm-hmm. what do you look for? I mean, what kinds of questions do you ask to make sure you're getting exactly what you're looking for or the quality that you're looking for?
Sure. I mean, it really starts with, the growing process and how they go about, maintaining their fields and how they go about, their planting seasons every year, the process where that goes. you know, what they specialize in, you know, as everybody kind of likes to kind of grow their thing. You know, obviously certain things grow here, you know, obviously, you know, but each farmer kind of has their own little niche, what they like to do, you know? So for me, it's, you know, show me your best quality of stuff. You know, what do you have? And talk about tastes, and, we taste things, you know, at the farm, as far as what it's like when it's young versus older, you know, collard greens when they're first kind of coming up versus collard greens that have been grown for a while, you know, so different textures and, you know, flavors of food. So that's, you know, to me, that's probably the biggest part, is just, you know, it's ready. You know, they've given it to me kind of on the silver platter, basically, like, okay, it's ready. We've done our part. And also now it's, you know, it's up to us to kind of do our part, you know, and, you know, there's so much process that goes along with there also, you know, as far as just teaching ourselves how to use that properly, that ingredient, and different ways to use it, you know. And like, I started, you know, smoking cauliflower, whole heads of cauliflower for the first time this year on my big smokers, because I don't know, I thought it'd be kind of cool to try out, you know. So I kind of treat it just like I do my barbecue meats, and it comes out absolutely fabulous, you know. And I smoke it for a couple hours, and we do some local Segura and Sons mushrooms and smoked cauliflower tacos, you know. So it's just super, you know, super fun and just interesting. And, you know, shishito peppers was something that, you know, couldn't find a lot around here until I talked to one of the farmers. And next thing I know, we're getting pounds of shishito peppers, you know. Those are all unbelievable. They taste so good, you know. So it's just, I'm like a kid in a candy store. A lot of times my cooks have to keep me from going to the farmer's market because I get too much stuff. So I let them go and get enough stuff that we need, so chef doesn't overspend and overbuy, you know.
And those shishito peppers are good.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, I tried yours at Father Fat, so it's my favorite thing.
Awesome.
Jojo, you're a veteran of the farmer's market. So how do you plan for a day there? I mean, what's it like? How early do you get up to prepare and get there and get all set up?
Well, I actually start baking at 6 a.m. on Friday, and I don't stop until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. So I am up 24 hours baking, and then we pack and rush to the market. Vendors have to be there by 7:30 a.m. If we're not, then someone who just wants to come in for the day to maybe sell their extra vegetables, they can come in and take our place. So we have to be set up by 7:30.
Okay.
And usually as soon as I arrive and people start seeing me put my tent up, they start a line. So we're pretty much nonstop until I usually sell out about 10:30. But the market officially goes till whenever everybody sells out. So we don't make our vendors stay till a certain time. They can just, you know, leave whenever they're done. So the rest of the market, I would say, does go on till about 12 or 1 p.m. So
is there a best time to visit the market? Like if you want to go at the ultimate best time and get the best stuff, is there a like the sweet spot that you would recommend?
I would say 7:30 a.m. because, right, you know, like at that time of day, the heat hasn't gotten to anything. You know, all the vegetables are as fresh as possible, and you might end up, you know, standing in line for a while, but it's worth it, I think. So, but it does get really busy, usually right around 9 o'clock. So I think that the 7:30 time period, or even 7:15, if you can get there, like as people are finishing their setup, you know,
that's the way to go.
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Chef Christian Sherwanka and Jojo Vang, our guests today on Route 51, a discussion on local foods and how to make the most of your local farmers market this summer. When we return, more recipe ideas and resources you can use to incorporate locally grown foods into your own kitchen. Your questions for our guests are welcome. Join us by calling 800-780-9742 or email us at route51@wpr.org. I'm Shereen Seewert, and this is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Jojo Vang and Chef Christian Sherwanka are our guests today as our discussion on local food and farmers markets continues. Your questions are welcome. The number to call is 800-780-9742. When calling, be sure to leave enough time for our producer to answer your call. So Jojo, like some other markets in the area, the Wausau one is allowing people with food share to use their EBT card right there at the market. Do you recall when that started? It was a few years ago, I think.
Yeah, I know we've had it for at least 5 years, so I don't know the exact date. But
how does that work for people?
So you can bring your EBT card to our market, and our market manager, she's kind of right in the center of the market. She'll have an EBT machine, and you just pop your card in there and say how much you want as far as dollar amount. And then she will hand you tokens. They're little round wooden tokens with a dollar amount printed on it. And you can take those tokens and spend them at any of the vendors at our market. And then the vendors take those tokens and bring it back to the market manager, and she will give them a receipt and write them out a check. So that's
okay.
How it works.
All right. Yeah. I'm curious how important that is. I mean, how important is it for people who are trying really hard to stretch their food dollar?
Yeah, I think it's such a great service to the community. And this year and last year, we have a special program running. So our farmers market is nonprofit. So with our extra funds that we have accumulated, we are actually doubling the amount that someone asks for. So say you put in, and it's up to $20. So if you put in that you want $20 from your EBT, we'll give you $40 in tokens. And that, I think, is just a great service to our community to help with any food issues that people may have, and that we want to help people out during the time of COVID, and just to be generous back to our community. So
has reaction to that been strong?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the first month of our market so far, the EBT machine was down. So, but I will announce as soon as we get a new machine back up and running, and we'll be offering that. So,
okay. I'm curious too, Chef, are there a handful of things you think you should only buy at the farmer's market? Are there things that maybe they're going to be better at the farmer's market no matter what?
Versus growing yourself, I mean, it depends. I mean, tomatoes are always nice to get at the farmer's market, obviously, as far as, you know, being able to kind of sit there and pick through each one, that kind of thing. Let's see. It's really just about going through and being able to pick those things that you're saying, you know. I mean, it's seeing, you know, what looks the nicest. You know, maybe you find some nice ground cherries, you know, some stuff that you can't, like, you definitely can't find ground cherries in the stores at all whatsoever, you know. So that's like definitely a specialty thing that you'll find.
Sure.
Actually, the flower arrangements, as crazy as that sounds, I mean, the flower arrangements that you see down there are amazing, too, as far as that goes, and they're really cheap.
Oh, I know. I love the flowers at the farmer's market. I can't ever resist coming home with some each time I go. Jojo, what about involving children in the farmer's market experience? How can you get kids excited about it and involved in the whole process?
Well, we see a lot of families coming to our market, and a lot of times the parents will let the kids have the money. And so they get to go up and order and, you know, practice in a way interacting in that kind of setting. And I think it's such a safe and like friendly environment there that, you know, no one's going to get annoyed if the kid takes a little longer taking out his coins or, and just in general, I think it's great for kids to see real vegetables and real fruits and like where they come from, and actually get to interact with the growers. That's so rare in any other sort of setting. So I think it's a wonderful family environment to bring your, to involve your kids in. So,
yeah.
Well, I was going to say, when I was a kid, I hated vegetables. and I think that maybe, you know, if I had had more of a that kind
start
of experience,
young.
Yeah, start young. But that leads me to a question for you, Chef. What are some ways to incorporate vegetables into meals that kids will really enjoy?
Actually, one of the funnest things I do is I started this with a farm shed a few years back. We actually I would go to the grade schools in the area, which about, I don't know, probably at least 8 or 9 different grade schools in the area here, and I'll actually go to the even the pre-K and the first grade classes, and I'll actually do show and tell. So I'll bring like literally probably, I don't know, 75 different like fruits and vegetables, all in the raw form. I'll sit there and I'll cut them in half. We'll talk about it. And then after that, I get a lineup, and they all come by and taste different things from like pieces of lemon to, you know, pomegranate seeds to just all kinds of fun things. And if you get them when they're young, then they really, they don't have too much of an opinion yet, basically. It's the way I see it. You know, they get to eat it and try it before they get to have that thought in their head about, you know, that's disgusting, you know, that kind of thing. So for me, it's, you know, get them young and, you know, raw, probably even like the raw stage where, you know, when they're almost like babies, and we made a lot of our own baby food when our kids sing them, you know, at the very like toddler stage, you know, so that they get used to that taste. They get used to sour, sweet, you know, all those different flavors, you know, because they're also kind of building up their palate also. If you think about it, you know, our palates are constantly changing and constantly growing. So as a young person, you know, being, you know, that small, you know, their palate is trying new things on a daily basis, you know. So really, I think those first 8 years are probably super crucial to give them as much as possible that's different, and from produce to, you know, on a different fish and meats, and, you know, then kind of let them make their own decisions as everybody does, you know, down the road after they've kind of tried more stuff. But I think you'll see the more they try, the less fussy they actually will be, for sure.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about the reasons that shopping at the local farmers market is important. You know, there are some benefits to having this in the community. Jojo, I'd like you to speak to that. I mean, being on the board of the Wausau Farmers Market, what are some reasons that people should shop at the farmers market?
Well, I think one of the main things is you're supporting local families, and you know, it's hard to be a farmer. It's hard to produce this food, and I think that they need to be rewarded in a way. You know, you could easily go buy your tomatoes at the grocery store, but it tastes so much better when it's locally produced. It's usually a lot less chemicals in your food, and just I think that you really are supporting your whole community when you shop at the farmers market. And I think it's a super important thing that you can do to help sustain local families. So please do it. Please go and find your favorite vendor and just keep shopping there, because they really appreciate you.
And get to know them. I've gotten to the point where the cheese people always know who I am. Because
they know what you want, huh?
Oh, yeah. Here's that cheese that you want every week. So it's neat to develop those relationships as well. So, Chef, I know you're constantly trying new things as a chef. I'm curious if you've ever had like a truly epic recipe failure when you were experimenting with something new. You'll make me feel better if you did.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. There's plenty of things that we try that you know, whether, you know, they come out super bitter or, you know, uh-huh. I didn't work the way I thought it was gonna work, you know, as far as that goes. Yeah, I mean, I've made some pretty bad soups over the years as far as thinking things were gonna taste different than they were. And you can't fix them, which makes it even worse, you know?
Sure. But on the flip side,
I try to forget.
Yeah, yep. on the
you
flip
don't,
side, though.
You don't
though,
learn did, unless you do that stuff.
Did you ever, like, try something you thought was going to be kind of iffy that turned out to be unexpectedly fabulous?
Sure. There's definitely been stuff that we've cooked that, the effect of, you know, different cooking techniques actually made it even better than it was, you know. Something like, okay, eggplant's one of those things that not everybody likes, you know. You have to kind of treat it the right way, you know. But I've always been, I'm not a huge eggplant person, but I try to cook it in ways that I'm going to like it, you know, or like beets. Not everybody likes beets, you know. So for me, if you take something like beets, and they're very kind of earthy and almost kind of like a dirt flavor, if you will, and you take those and you marinate those with some fresh herbs and some vinegar and some citrus juices, and next thing you know, you're kind of almost forget that you're eating a beet, and they actually kind of taste good. You know, because beets are if you treat them properly and add things to them, they actually have some really great qualities to them, you know? So I think bringing out those qualities helps you enjoy it even more.
So about the beets, and I'm in the anti-beet camp. My husband mm-hmm. loves beets, and I always say I yep. don't like them. Our producer today, Rob, is giving me the thumbs down. He doesn't like the beets either. So, but I'm curious about how to. I'd like to try doing something different with it. What do you recommend?
Fried beets are actually good. We actually sometimes slice beets super thin and fry them like chips, almost like potato chips, and they actually come out really tasty. Obviously, beets have a sweet quality to them, you know, so when you fry those up, you know, they kind of get almost even sweeter and a little bit of salt in there. They're super tasty. Otherwise, we'll normally cook them and kind of slice them all different ways, dice them, slice them. Cook them till they're tender. Then we take that with cider vinegar after they're kind of still kind of warm. Cider vinegar, fresh herbs like rosemary, parsley, sweet onions, garlic. You can throw some other vegetables in there. You know, so you're almost kind of making like a pickly kind of marinade to it. You know, so I think you'll find that Robert, the beets aren't quite as bad if you kind of get some pickle on there and get some other stuff in there so you don't really know you're chewing down on the beet, you know, so.
Well, I'm willing to give it a whirl, and I know you have a recipe for us. We'll have that on our website, wpr.org/route51, along with the other recipes.
Beets on pizza, actually. I did a pizza last weekend with beets and goat cheese. Actually, it was really tasty. So.
Beets on pizza. All right. Well, that's something to know. So it sounds really interesting, though. So, well, Jojo, we kind of have a mental checklist when we head to the market. We bring our own bags, our baskets, for example. What other tips do you have for people going to the market? Are people accepting cards now, or is cash the way to go? What do you want people to know?
I would still say that cash is the best, because not every vendor has that capability to use a card. And bring some ones if you can. So I know no matter how many ones I bring, I always end up short at the end. So so bring your own bags. And even I would say bring a cart, like if you have a cart, like, you know,
a little wagon.
Yeah, definitely. You know, feel free to bring that, because it can get kind of hot. And if you're going to buy anything heavy, you don't want to carry that around, you know, so I'd recommend that, and sunscreen and some water to drink so that you can stay there longer and survive the heat. So
survive the heat and enjoy it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I find myself coming home from the market with about 50 things, and half of them I'm not quite sure how I'm going to use. Are there some resources maybe that you can suggest on how, you know, to find ways, innovative ways to use these things? Chef, do you have any resources you can point to?
I use a book. It's called The Food Bible. It's from like A to Z. Kind of really breaks down like spices and ingredients, and, you know, like beets, for example. It'll give you basically like, you know, 100 plus variations of way to cook beets, flavors that go with beets. You know, so I think if you just Google, you know, Google the vegetable that you're looking for, and it really, you'll be amazed how many things just start popping up. You know, in videos, I mean, videos is something, you know, nowadays, 20 years ago, we didn't have, you know, tons of videos to watch how to break down, you know, a Buddha lemon, you know, as far as that goes, you know, so there's definitely a lot of resources out there. I'm kind of old school and kind of look through my books and things like that, you know, so I like to kind of flip through pages, and gives you ideas of what other chefs have done with it and things like that too.
Jojo, what about you? Are there some resources that perhaps the farmer's market points people toward?
Not really.
maybe talking to the vendors. Maybe.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, so for example, my mother-in-law, you know, she's Hmong, and the Hmong vendors do sell some vegetables that you probably have never eaten or would not even have a slightest clue what to do. And so if you just ask them, she will explain to you exactly how she cooks it. And I think that is one of the best things that you can share in a different, totally different culture. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both. Thank you both. That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guests, Chef Christian Sherwanka and Jojo Vang. Our producer is Joy Ratch-Kramer. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Rob Mentzer is our on-air producer today. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program and recipes, too, at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, tune in for a look at wineries in North Central Wisconsin and what makes them so unique. And in 2 weeks, a special musical presentation from three local artists who are finally performing live again after a year of COVID restrictions. Until then, we're heading out of town.